Please turn in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 142. And if you're using a Pew Bible, you can find that on page 664. It's a Psalm 142, and your Pew Bible is on page 664. This is a Psalm of David, like we just sang. And David is not in a great situation. He is beat down, overwhelmed, and he feels isolated and alone. And in this psalm, as we will learn today, God gives us a path forward for how to deal with situations like that we face in life. So let us hear then Psalm 142, beginning in verse 1. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains for my soul. No one cares for my soul. I cry to the Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Lord, help us to understand all that we have sung and all that we have heard read to us. Give us a heart and a ready ear to listen and obey all that you have commanded. In Jesus' name, amen. We just entered 2023, and if my math is correct, in an hour it'll be 12 hours ago. And a lot of people are, when the new year comes, there's a shift of mentality. It's almost like you're leaving behind all of the garbage, all of the difficulties that you faced in 2022. Any of those things that didn't go well, any of the projects that you didn't finish, you can kind of put all those things behind. But you know that when Monday hits and when you get back to work and you take your kids back to school, all of those things are not going to go away. They're going to come back to you. And you might be overwhelmed. And David, in this psalm, is overwhelmed. Have you felt depleted? Have you felt hounded by others? Have you felt as if there's no safety, no refuge for you in your troubles? Maybe all the difficulties that you're dealing with right now, maybe you feel completely alone. As if nobody cares for your soul. And even if you might tell someone, you think that they're not really going to understand, and maybe they can only sympathize, but they're not really going to get it. Maybe you feel shackled by sin, and the idea of going into a new year with that just puts your knees shaking. These could be brought about by deaths, family conflicts, maybe difficulties with people in your community. You could be overwhelmed by political situations and things not going well, or laws not being passed that you'd like to see passed that aren't. It could be brought about by a sense of hopelessness or uncertainty about the future and what God wants for you and your family. Divorce, breakups, pain, injury, the list can go on, and I could keep going. But you are not alone. When overwhelmed, cry out to your God. When you are overwhelmed, brothers and sisters, cry out to your God, and you are not alone. David experienced this in Psalm 142. As I mentioned, he's in a cave. He is alone. He is completely undone. And Psalm 142 teaches us four steps for how we are to cry out to God when we are overwhelmed. So step number one, when you are overwhelmed, cry out to your God and tell him your troubles. So tell God your troubles. If you look at Psalm 142, we see this very thing in verse 2. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. That is David's first response. He is crying out to God. I cry out, I plead out, verse 1. I pour out my complaint. I tell my trouble. Again, verse 5, if you look later in the passage, I cry, I say, attend to my cry in verse 6. Can you hear the hint of desperation in his voice? This pleading, Lord, help me. I can't do this. It is too hard for me. But David turns to God in his overwhelming state where he is broken and he can't feel like he could do anything. Where do you turn to when you are overwhelmed? Where do you turn? Is it to your spouse? A close friend? Maybe it's to your own pastor, your elders. Where do you turn? Where you turn tells a lot about where your heart is it, doesn't it? You know, one thing we often don't do is we don't turn to God first. And this is quite a problem. You know, maybe we don't turn to God because we don't feel like he's really going to understand us. Maybe we feel a lack of his presence, as if there's not a closeness to God, an intimacy that we have so longed for but yet has escaped us. And maybe at only certain points of our life have we truly been able to lay hold of. Maybe we think maybe we don't go to God because we think he's not going to care. Why would he care about little old me? Who am I to this great and awesome God that he would deign to even look upon my troubles? Yet, we know intellectually that Jesus died for me. We know intellectually that we can go to all of these different scripture verses, all of these different passages that say that God is going to do that, that he is going to meet us in our time of trouble, that he is going to be there when we most need him. And yet, we don't go to him. But I want you to think about this. If you've ever tried to learn a language before, raise your hand if you've ever tried to learn a language. That is quite difficult. And I'm going to guess that nobody in this room has ever been able to listen to two different conversations at the same time in two completely different languages and fully understand and comprehend all of it. Raise your hand if you've ever done that before. I'm not raising mine because I have. And yet God can. Even right now, there are hopefully billions of people worshiping this great God in languages and tongues and peoples and tribes. And yet God is hearing all of these things simultaneously and is not overwhelmed. And he fully understands, he fully cares, and he fully intimately knows all of the concerns of our heart. That is astounding to meditate in. And shouldn't that make you want to bring your cares to God that much more? If you know that he is capable to handle anything, that he is not broken by billions of the concerns of the people and his children in this life. We know that Jesus gives us this invitation and he says, come to me. Have you done so? Have you come to your God who invites you to abide and to rest in him? Have you taken him up on this offer? God has not promised that he is going to take away your troubles. And I'm not here to tell you that he is. You might have to hold those till the next passing, till you meet him in eternity. But he does promise, and he does invite you to come, and he promises to hear every one of your concerns. So tell God your troubles. Tell God your troubles when you are overwhelmed. Cry out to him and tell him your troubles. Cast your anxieties upon God. How many of us really do that? I know for myself, I like to hold on to these things until it's too much for me and too many burdens. You could think of Pilgrim's Progress and that huge backpack that as he goes through the story just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until he finds rest at Christ's feet. Cast your burdens, cast your heavy backpack that you've been carrying for so long upon Christ. Tell him your troubles. And don't fixate on your problems either. We often do this. We let these things consume our minds until they cripple us. Don't fixate on them. If you could think about at them at all, think about how to solve them. Think about solutions and how to take care of them. Just do the next best thing. So when overwhelmed, cry out to your God. Step one, tell God your troubles. And step two, know that he fully knows you. We could see this in verse 3, if you want to look here. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. What a beautiful promise. You know my way. Just that statement alone should give you a pause. David, just a few chapters earlier, if you want to turn there to Psalm 139, and we sang it as well at the beginning of the service, is David talking about God's intimately knowing him from the day of his birth. Some of the verses that you can think about that come to mind, if you look at verse 1 of Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. Think about that for a second. The Lord knows and cares when you sit down and when you rise up. Do you even keep track of that? I know I don't. But God knows when you sit down and when you rise up in the morning. He knows what time you're going to go to work. He knows what time you're going to go to bed. He knows what time you're going to eat. And it even goes on to say, you know my thoughts even before it is on my mind. You have known them completely. God fully knows. Verse 9, if you want to go down a little bit more. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So even if you try to run from him, like Jonah, even God's going to be there. In your darkest moment, where you are crying out to God and telling God your troubles as you need to do, know that there is no darkness that his light cannot come to. There is no oasis, there is no desert plain that he cannot meet you at. Go down to verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. If anybody has ever knitted before, that imagery right there of holding the needle. I've never knitted before, so don't ask me to describe it. But you're putting the needle and you're intertwining all these threads and you're making something absolutely beautiful. And that's what you are. You are knitted together by God's very own hand. Do you think he doesn't care? He does. He fully knows you and everything about you and every concern that you have on your heart. Go down even more. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the sea. You saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. I had a friend a couple years ago, went through a very terrible breakup. And I remember I would go in, and we were roommates at the time, and I would go over there, and you know, his bed is on one side of the room, and I was on the other. And I'd walk in, and he'd be laying on the bed, and I could notice his bed was just wet with tears. And, of course, I'm not going to ask him right then, be rather embarrassing what's going on, and also I could tell. But it asked a month later for him to talk to me about, like, what was he praying about during that dark moment of his life? What was going on in his head? And he said to me he had one single prayer that he prayed over and over and over again as his heart was laid bare to God. He said, "Oh Lord, you know." That was his prayer. "You know, oh Lord." Night after night, with tears in his eyes, "Oh Lord, you know." Maybe that's your only prayer right now. And that's okay, because your God fully and completely knows. So when you are overwhelmed, cry out to your God and tell God your troubles. Step one. Step two, know that he fully knows you. And step three, rest in your refuge. Look at verse 5, if you will. Verse 5 says, "I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." David has been brought very low. He is faint-hearted, fearful of danger. He is overpowered by his persecutors. He feels imprisoned as if there's no human escape or help or sight for him, and he seems to have no chance for freedom. And David knows that this rocky hole in the cave is not his ultimate refuge. He knows that Christ is. He knows where to turn. Do you? But what is a refuge? To some extent, this term has almost become nebulous. We bandy it around just like the term, well, you need to have faith or do this thing or just walk in faith. What does that really mean? Well, to David here, what a refuge is quite important. A refuge is a safe place. It's a safe house in the midst of a storm where you know that you can run and you will not be harmed. It's the rock upon which we build our houses. It's the places where we go to when we are frustrated and upset. The friends, we might view them as refuges during our times of trouble. David, though, goes to God. He said, "God, you are my refuge. Of all other people that I could turn to, Lord, you are my refuge." Is God your refuge? Can you honestly say that? Is he your safe house, your place of escape where you go to and you turn in your moments of trouble? One of the places that we can turn to, also a psalm of David, funnily enough, we reference Psalm 139, we sang it at the beginning, the psalm that most comes to familiarity with me, at least, when we think of psalms, we think of the Psalm 46. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in my distress. I will not, therefore, be moved. Though the earth give way, though the mountains roar and the seas rise up. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Because sometimes our life is like that. The waves are coming around us. They're crashing. It is, and if you've ever been in the open sea before, if you've ever seen a video or a movie where the waves are just, it's amazing. It is a crazy, it will strike you with fear and dread as you look at the waves crashing around you. The world does not seem like the place that it is on the land. Sometimes our life feels that way. Job loss, breakups, how am I going to do this or how am I going to do that? Fill in the blank. What is that for you? The waves crashing and burning around you. David says, "He is my refuge." David says, not is he just my refuge, but he's a present help. And we often don't think that way, do we? We think, well, yeah, he's going to help me, but maybe not now. And maybe he won't. He might not help you right now, But he does promise that he will eventually, in this life or in the next. But he is a present help. God literally does care for you. I think of Matthew 14. If you guys ever think of Peter and Christ out in the water there, and it's the waves are crashing and burning around, and there's Jesus. The disciples wake up and they see Jesus, this God man, out in the water. I mean, think about that. There's a crazy storm around, and there's this man, this God man, in the water, walking on it. And Peter goes out to him. And I don't know exactly why this came to my mind. I'm just thinking a lot about water recently for some reason. But he's out there and he sees Jesus. And to me, if I was one of the disciples, I would have probably stayed on the boat. Because this is solid ground. I'm not going to go out in the water with there. But what does Peter do? He goes out onto the water to meet Christ. And you know what? He goes there because he knows that he is safer with Christ out on that water than he is on that boat. And that blows my mind. And it's not until he begins to doubt, it's not until he begins to look at the waves that he begins to sink. But when he looks back at Christ, he is perfectly safe and at complete peace and refuge. So even when we are hit with the worst case scenario, know that God is sovereign, that he has it under control, that he knows what he is doing even though you do not know and do not understand. Spend time in the presence of God to know your God so that when you are met with difficult situations, you know where to turn to. You know what passages to go to. You know what you need to do when you are faced with these situations. I think looking at creation, like we think about Psalm 19, really helps to put things into perspective. Even Jesus did it in Matthew 6. He when we're anxious, he says, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers in the field. We turn our attention away from the problems that we have to look at the way that God cares for even these little things. And Jesus said, how much more will I care for you? I love looking at sunsets. They are my thing. If you were to look at my phone right now, you would see hundreds, if not thousands, of photos of the sunset. Because when I look at that sunset, I know that God cares, that God is there in ways, and it's so much more beautiful because we don't get to see it that often. So it strikes me with its beauty that much more powerfully. It brings me into the presence of God. What is that thing for you that makes you still before the Lord? Do them when you are overwhelmed. So when you're overwhelmed, step one, tell God your trouble. Step two, know that he fully knows. Step three, rest in your refuge. And finally, step four, lay hold of God's promises to you. Look at verse 7 at the end here. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. And they're zeroing on this. The righteous will surround me. Here we go. For you will deal bountifully with me. For you will deal bountifully with me. Even though David is going through all of these difficult things, even though he is so overwhelmed, so distraught, that he can barely muster a single tear, and he feels as if we look later in the passage, for my enemies, they are too strong for me. And he feels broken, unable to bear them. He turns to the promises of God, and he knows that God will deal bountifully with him. There's no doubt in his mind that God will be there, that God will be his refuge, that God will answer his prayers. There is no doubt in his mind. No doubt. He lays hold of the promises of God. You will. You will. It is definite. And there are so many examples of this in scriptures. I'll just give you a couple. Sennacherib's army, 185,000. If you've been to the small group on Thursday night, we covered this a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. I'm losing track of time. Either way, maybe it was a long time ago. I'm just reading it. Either way, 185,000. This insurmountable obstacle in Israel with their little army. What are they going to do? They pray. The next day they wake up. 185,000 people dead in a single night. The enemies of God completely destroyed. Think about Moses, the Red Sea. God has led them. God has brought them out of Egypt. There's Pharaoh's army is chasing after them. This mighty, powerful force, this giant in that time, they're coming with their chariots and their horsemen. They're bounding after the people of God. There's this sea in front of them. How are they going to pass it? God parts the Red Sea. God's people go through, and all of Pharaoh's army is left in smoldering ruins. But what if you aren't facing Sennacherib's army? Maybe instead it's cascading debts. Maybe it's health challenges that suck up your time, your hope, your energy. Maybe it's relationships with family members that are challenging. Maybe you can't meet deadlines at work. Maybe you're frustrated with too many things and too little time in which to do all the things that you have been tasked with doing. Lay hold of God's promises to you. And here are some of them. And just listen to them. When you doubt God's plans for the future, Jeremiah 11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and give you peace." When you are afraid, think about Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand." When you are so distracted and you can't think of, and you have a lack of peace, Isaiah says, "He keeps you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." When you are worried about your next meal and how you're going to make ends meet, know that the lions young may hungry be and they may lack their food. But those who truly seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Maybe you're worried about eternity. I love this passage. John 10, "I will give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." All of these things, all of these promises God has given to you, lay hold of them. And ultimately, we see this picture. This is Christ in the psalm as well. As David cries out to God, so does Jesus, the ultimate David. He cries out at the Garden of Gethsemane for God to take this awful pain from him, this weight that he would be having. Just as David experienced feeling overwhelmed and forsaken by his people, so Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was forsaken by his apostles. Peter, when he was led to the cross, said, "I never knew the man." Even God himself, the Father, turned his back on the Son. Just as David experienced overwhelming pain, so did Christ experience a pain that you and I can never begin to fathom. And yet, unlike David, this greater David rose and paid the ultimate price for you, so that when you are overwhelmed, you can tell God your troubles, so that when you are overwhelmed, you can know that he fully knows you. And when you are overwhelmed, you can rest in your refuge and lay hold of God's promises to you. And if you are today here and you have not done these things, and to you, God is simply a being off in the distance, Not real, not there, not present. When your day of trouble comes, you will not have any hope. And my deepest prayer for you is that you turn to God before it is too late. Because that being crushed that Christ experienced at the cross, you will experience not for one moment in time, not for 3 days in the grave, but for eternity. And he is inviting you today to come and to rest in him. Father, we are so grateful for this promise that you've given to us, that when we are overwhelmed, we can cry out to you. May we do that now, this week, this moment, as we walk in obedience in these things. Give us strength and heed our cry for help in times of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.